Well, good evening. Good to see you here tonight, and I know you've had a good afternoon and back here to worship God, and what a blessing it is to be here in the house of God. Going to be back in Isaiah chapter 9, again tonight, verses 6 and 7, looking at the final title given to Christ, final name given to Christ in this passage, the Prince of Peace, and it will carry over into verse 7, so we'll use both of those verses tonight, verses 6 and 7, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And we're talking about the Prince of Peace, and that is Christ, that is Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for all you do for us, all the things you give us in our lives. We thank you, God, that we do feel safe in your arms and in your comfort. And we know that you will watch over us, that you will carry us through in our lives, no matter what we face, whether it's good or bad or strong or weak. God, may it, whatever it may be, you will carry us through. You will see us through because you are sovereign. You are God. And now, God, we just pray as you turn our hearts and minds to the message. Fill us with the Holy Spirit that we will hear your message and be obedient and be encouraged and convicted in our lives. And I pray again that you would give me the words to speak, that whatever is said will come from you, Lord, and flow from your throne. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to my heart as well and help me to present the message as you would have me to do it. We just love you, God, and we praise you, and we lift up all these things to you. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. You may remain seated tonight as we read. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and you shall call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. May God bless the reading of the word this evening. The Prince of Peace. Remember hearing this name of Christ given. When I first heard it, I was just a young boy. And that kind of sounds corny, doesn't it? But I was a young boy. I am 31 now. So, but anyway, I don't know how old I was, 8, 9, something like that. And I remember talking to my brother, and of all these names, I asked him what he thought was the coolest name. You know, of course, he said Prince of Peace, and I made fun of him because I thought that was the coolest name. And I want him to think the same name was the cool name that I thought. But anyway, that's just being brothers. But we did. I mean, of all the four, that's just the one. It just sounds cool, you know, when you're a kid. And I don't know, it just grabs you. It's not that the other ones don't, but Prince of Peace. You know, no one else deserves to be called that. No one else deserves to use that. No one else deserves to use or call any of these, but especially that one, Prince of Peace. I mean, that's just so poetic, isn't it? You could make a movie out of that, almost, and use that as a title. It's just a great name. The alliteration or whatever it is, whichever one that is, alliteration or assonance, whichever one, I think it's alliteration, where the consonants repeat in that, right? Prince of Peace, of course the O's in there, but it's poetic, and then it's beautiful. I know, again, not really the right word, but that's what I can come up with now. But just a great name. And you think about Prince of Peace, and just saying it does what the last word is, doesn't it? It just gives you peace. Just like when you say Jesus, it's amazing how saying the name of Jesus will do that as well. When you say his name, there is a peace that overflows in you. And of course it does, because when you say his name, you're invoking his name and you're invoking his presence. Not that he's not present, but you know what I mean. You're invoking that power into you, and that's why we feel peace, I believe, when we say the name of Christ. But Prince of Peace, it's calming, it's beautiful, it's poetic. It's my favorite name that Christ has that is given to him in the Bible. Again, it's not that it's more important than the other ones, it's just the one I like. So a little bit of personal preference there. But Prince of Peace. And you look at that name, the Prince of Peace, and of course immediately you think royalty when you see Prince. And we know that Christ is another name that he's given, is Son of God. And we think of him as the Son of God. It's not Son in the same way that we understand the word Son. He is not the offspring of God. He is God. It's more of a title that he is from God, of God, is God. It kind of, the attributes, characteristics of God is what Son of God means. And but when you carry that analogy, when you can see where Prince comes in and why he is given that name. But when you look at the peace of God, we talk about the idea of the peace of God. And I've mentioned this many times. I've talked about peace many times in the past and other passages that mention it. But the peace of God is something that all people seek after. And maybe not so much the peace of God, but peace in general. I mean, we all want peace. Whether you're a Christian or not, and non-Christians may not admit it, but they do. They want relief from the turmoil. That's why shrinks, as best I can call them, I don't know what they're officially called, but shrinks, counselors, that's why they exist. That's why you have them. That's why they get paid $90 an hour or whatever it is. Because people want peace. And when you're physically in pain, you go to the hospital. Now, tragically, there's times nothing can be done and you do die. People do die. But for the most part, the technology we have, you know, you break your foot or you break your hand, get an infection, you go to the hospital to get taken care of. It's painful, but you'll get over it. You know it'll go away. But it's the emotional and mental pain, isn't it, that many times we suffer that you can't put a Band-Aid in your brain. It's the way I've always looked at it. And it's just, there's just no, you know, Band-Aids and medicine. Well, medicine, I guess, in some ways can fix it if you take enough of certain kinds. But just when you have emotional and mental pain, it just can't be fixed in the same way. And what you seek after in those times, maybe you go through a lot of different things, a death of a loved one or a divorce, or as I've learned, some person has recently gone through both within a week, couple of weeks of each other. And you can imagine losing, getting divorced and losing a mother type of person, a mother, or for example, all that hitting you at once. I mean, you can imagine the emotional strain on someone. And when that happens in those situations, for example, you do want peace. It doesn't matter who you are. Now, as a non-Christian, who knows what they do? I guess they go to shrinks. They go to psychiatrists. That's what they're called. They go to psychiatrists and counselors. And that's why they get that money, to talk them out of it, to talk them through the pain, help them find peace in life. As Christians, though, we do seek after peace, but we seek after the peace of God. Now, we'll talk to other people. We'll talk to our ministers or our Sunday school teachers or friends that are godly influences in our life. We'll seek out godly counsel, a godly person to give us advice, because we know that they'll give us advice on the realm of spirituality and Christianity and in godly advice. And we seek after the peace of God. Because we all desire that. We desire to know God's comfort. And really, God is the only one that can give complete peace in our lives. He's in the time of turmoil, he is what gives us that relief that we desire. And I can't explain it any other way than to say that it is God, the only one that he is the only one that can do that. I know in my life personally, I remember the different things I went through in life, especially as a teenager. I know as a teenager, a lot of emotional changes going through. You're starting to learn life and learn things, and you're not mature yet, so you make a lot of mistakes in life and do a lot of things that end up hurting you emotionally and mentally. And I remember as a teenager, I would go to godly people and talk to them, but in the end, the only thing that helped me was when I finally gave it over to God and received his peace. That was the only time I could really get past the pain, was when he helped me. And I gave it over to him, and I allowed him to be in control of whatever was going on. You see, the peace of God in our life, it alleviates the burdens of life. It takes away those burdens of life. It makes it easier for us. And I mentioned, I think it was a Wednesday night not too long ago, Matthew 11, I believe, I think it's Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where Jesus says, take my yoke upon me and upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and in me you find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. God gives us that peace. That He gives us the hope in life that it's going to get better. It's not going to be this way forever. It's not going to be this way if you live 40 years, the next 40 years. It's not going to happen all the time. You're going to find hope. And God gives us that hope. He gives us joyful joy. He gives us joy in an unjoyful world and an unjoyful time. I mean, in the world we live in, let's face it, it's not godly and it's not loving and compassionate. I'm not saying there aren't loving, compassionate, godly people. I'm saying that the world as in general is not that way. It's why we battle the world. We fight the world in our spiritual lives because it's not of God. But God yet with His peace gives us hope, gives us happiness, gives us joy in the midst of the unjoyful surroundings we're in. God's peace is great and comforting. And unless you've experienced it, you can't understand it truly. And I hope there's been a time in your life in the past that you have experienced God's peace in a time of tragedy or discomfort. I know I have. I've experienced many times, and I don't know how to describe it other than it does feel like a huge burden is removed. And I can remember when I was 15, I went to a youth conference. It was a Fellowship of Christian Athletes conference. Went with some people from the high school, and was struggling with some things and emotionally. And I just remember at that conference, I asked God to control my desires, and it was at that minute that I literally felt as if someone had taken physically something off of my shoulders. I mean, it felt like something was lifted off, physically lifted off of me. And I was immediately cured, immediately healed of the pain I was going through. And that was when it was a spiritual awakening, I guess, in my life that I really started seeking God as a young man. And that changed my life. In that moment, I felt the peace of God. The only response was tears. But I felt the peace of God in my life and how joyful it was to know that God loved me and to hear Christ say to me, Randall, you know I love you. And that's what He said to me that day. And to feel that peace, to feel that love and hope, it's made me who I am. It changed my life then, and it's changed me forever. And to feel that peace is, you can't know it unless you felt it. And I can't describe it to you. And I know that's frustrating for those of you maybe who haven't felt it. And, you know, you don't know what He's talking about. He wasted His money in school. But I can't describe it any better. I mean, that's what happened to me. And unless you've been there, you can't know the peace of God. But I can tell you, if you want to hear it, that there's nothing that can compare to the peace of God. There's no person that'll love you, mom, dad, wife, husband. I don't have a wife, never will have a husband, but I don't have any of that, and I can tell you, I have mom and dad and siblings, but I don't have a wife, and I can tell you none of that. Nothing they can do, how much they love you, can ever compare to what God can do in your life. And that's just me. And if you don't believe it, I mean, I know you believe it, but someone came here and said, I don't believe you, I'd say, well, that's your opinion, but you can't change what happened to me. So, I mean, that's the fact that I know what God's peace is, and there's nothing that can compare. That is the strength of the peace of God. And we look at this name given to Christ, the Prince of Peace. And as I said, it speaks of royalty. It gives the tone of royalty in it and deity in His life. That He was more than a man. He was man. He was man in the flesh. He came to be flesh for our benefit, but He was God. He was deity while He was on this earth. He was worshipped, and He still is God, still is worshipped, sitting at the right hand throne of God. He is Prince. He is the ruler of all things. He is over all things. Prince in the sense of control, in the sense of power, in the sense of a prince that would control things and be over things. That is who Christ is. And when you think about the Prince of Peace, what it spoke to me was that He is in control of the peace in life. That He controls our lives in that sense. He controls all of our lives, but He controls the peace in our lives. That means all the difficulties, all the trials and tribulations we face, Christ controls how much it's going to affect us, whether it's going to strengthen us and how long He lets it stay to strengthen us, or whether he removes it immediately, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Peace. He is the dictator of peace. He's the one that decides when you're going to get the peace and how much you're going to get. And he's in control of that. And that's what I understand when I see Prince of Peace. That's what I mean. And there may be some that argue with me that say, well, you always have peace in your life. No, I don't think so. I don't know that I always have peace in my life. Now, that's my fault when I don't. But I don't think I always do. But the times that I'm giving over to Christ my life and living for Him, I do have them. And He is in control of that. He controls peace. He is the czar of peace. You know, He's the Bill Gates of peace. He's in control of it. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it from Him. You know, if we want groceries, if we want bread, you don't go down to a mechanic shop. You know, if you want beer, you don't go to a grocery store. You do go to a mechanic shop, right? So you're going to go. That's just a little joke. I'm sorry. But if you want bread, you don't go to the mechanic. You go to the grocery store. Okay, you want peace. You don't go to the world. You go to God. Because He is the Prince of Peace. He's the one that owns it. He's the one that controls it. He's in control of it. He's the one that gives it. And the peace He gives is greater than any pain we can ever imagine. If the pain in our life is a 10, then the peace He gives is 11. If the pain in our lives is a 5,263,000, then His is that plus 1. So whatever it is greater, and it's enough to wipe it out and with some left over. And there's nothing in this life that can ever match the peace of God, whether it could give peace or give pain. There's nothing that could ever obliterate or match how much God can give us in our lives. He is in control. He is the Prince of Peace. Christ is in control of that. And I pray tonight that you will learn to allow Christ to be in control of your life and give you that peace in your life, that you will make Him the Prince of Peace in your life. But whenever we think about this verse, and I've read verse 6, we come to verse 7, and it does flow in, the Prince of Peace, and it says, of His government, you know, will of His government of peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David, and upon His kingdom, and to order it and establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform it. And you look at that verse 7, and it talks about the idea that it will never end. That He is in control, and that power He has will never end. And there is nothing that will ever strip away from God, strip away from Christ, His control over peace in our lives. Satan cannot remove the peace of God in our lives. Sin cannot. Evil cannot. The world cannot. Nothing can remove it. It will never end. It will never be outlasted. In the same way that He is everlasting as the everlasting Father, His peace is everlasting. It will never end. It will remain forever. It will be an overflowing blessing. It will bring glory to Him that will span all time. And then it talks about on the throne of David, and of course, that just goes back to God promising that David would always have an heir on the throne. And Christ became his heir, the heir of David, and sat on the throne of David, and he still sits on the throne. He is a king, and he carries forth that idea of the Messiah. And he is the Messiah. He is the one that we worship, the one that gives us life today. His kingdom is of God. He is the promised and anointed one. He will order His kingdom. He will bring that judgment. He is in control of that. He is the God over everything. His judgment will be established. And the zeal of God will ensure that all of these things will take place. You see, it doesn't matter what we go through in life. It doesn't matter how good or bad it may be. But we've got to learn our lives to bow to the Prince of Peace, to bow to the King of Kings, and that is the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. You know, we look at these names that have given to Christ in verse 6, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And you put all those together, he is a Savior that counsels us, listens to us, loves us, wants to hear what we have to say, wants to be there for us, wants to be our psychiatrist, if you will. And He's the Almighty God. He He stands above the earth. He stands above everything. He is stately. He is great. He is powerful. And nothing can overthrow Him. Nothing will ever stop Him or be in His way or keep Him from performing His task as God. He's the everlasting Father, always providing for His children, always caring for His children. And it will last eternally. Nothing will ever stop that or end that. He will always be the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace, the King, the one in control, the leader of the government, the leader in our lives. And He will bring peace to our lives. Do you follow the Prince of Peace tonight? Do you bow to the King of Kings? Do you bow to His throne? Do you worship Him? You know, I told you this morning, I asked you this morning, is He in your life? Is He your Father? Is He leading you and guiding you? And tonight I ask, do you worship Him as the Prince of Peace? Do you worship Him as the God of gods, as the King of kings? He is the greatest of all people. Is He part of your life in that sense? Our hymn invitation this evening is hymn number 279. I don't know how God has spoken to you tonight. I don't know what He has done in your life and what He has revealed to you. But I know that God wants to be the Prince of Peace in your life. He is the Prince. He is the King. He is in control. But are you allowing Him to have that control? Do you bow to Him? Do you worship Him? Do you truly worship Him? And not just in word, and not just in I'm a Christian, I go to church. That's not what I mean. Do you worship Him daily and in your life, every second, every minute? Is He part of your life? As you go through your daily activities and your rituals and you take care of the business that you have, do you worship Him? I pray that tonight that answer will be yes, and if it's no, that you will change that before you leave today. Father, we do want to pray tonight as we've heard this message. And Lord, we know that You are the Prince of Peace. You are the ruler of the government. You are over us. You are in control of the peace in our lives. And You're there to give it to us at all times. We must simply receive it. Whenever we have strife, whenever we have sinned, whenever we have pain, God, we just receive the peace that You want to give. Lord Jesus, You're in control of that. You're over that. You're greater than anything we will ever face. And I just pray that we will learn to seek after Your peace in our lives. Speak to our hearts tonight as we sing this hymn invitation. Help us be obedient to You. And Lord, we just pray all these things in the holy and precious name of Jesus, as You are our Prince of Peace. Amen.